2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
Wisconsin's legislative redistricting map, which was used by Governor Scott Walker to consolidate his right-wing agenda, is now being challenged in federal court. The case argues that Republican leaders in the Badger State used redistricting to make it difficult for Democrats and progressives to block Walker's regressive agenda. If the lawsuit prevails in appeals court, the case, Whitford versus Nickel, could upend other Republican-drawn redistricting maps in states like Michigan, Ohio, Virginia, and Texas. Many legal observers think the case may come before the U.S. Supreme Court. Michael Lee, a lawyer for the Brennan Center for Justice, told the American Prospect the Wisconsin lawsuit is the most significant gerrymandering case in 30 years. The Wisconsin legislative map, which took effect in 2011, was designed in a closed-door meeting held at the offices of the Republican-leaning law firm Michael Best and Friedrich. The plan was so secret that GOP legislators had to sign a confidentiality agreement to look at it. The redistricting plan was passed by the state legislature after a single hearing. Opponents filed a lawsuit, and a 3-judge panel slapped the Michael Best law firm with a $17,000 fine. But the Republican map has done its job very well. In the 2012 state assembly election, Democrats won 200,000 more votes than Republicans, but due to the strategically drawn maps, the GOP maintained control of the legislature with a 60-39 seat majority. Millions of low-wage California workers will celebrate in 2022 when the minimum wage is due to be increased to $15 an hour. Yet tens of thousands of part-time workers may still be mired in poverty since they rely on stringing together several part-time jobs to make ends meet. According to The Nation magazine, over 160,000 hourly workers in Silicon Valley are underemployed and forced to work multiple jobs. Half of these low-wage part-time service workers often earn lower hourly wages than full-time workers. According to the Community Labor Coalition Silicon Valley Rising, many part-time workers often don't know their work schedules week to week. As a result, they have a tough time saving money or spending time with their children. Moreover, few get any vacation days or the opportunity to earn retirement benefits. To bring economic stability to their part-time workforce, Silicon Valley Rising is pushing for San Jose voters to consider their Opportunity to Work initiative in a ballot measure this November. The proposal, if approved, would compel employers to offer full-time work to current part-time employees before they can hire new part-time workers. Russian tourists are returning to the Black Sea for summer relaxation as terrorism and geopolitics have cut off favorite vacation spots in Egypt and Turkey. Sochi, the site of the 2014 Winter Olympics, and the recently annexed Crimea Peninsula have gained new popularity for tourists, even if these locations lack the facilities many affluent Russians had been accustomed to in the Middle East. Tourists are also returning to out-of-the-way places like the breakaway region of Abkhazia. When the Soviet Union broke up in the early 1990s, middle-class Russians discovered resorts in Turkey and Egypt. But now, these summer destinations are too dangerous. In recent years, Sochi has seen several million more tourists arrive, staying at hotels and spas built for the Olympics. The Crimea has been a summer retreat for Russia's elite since Tsarist times. Since Russia's annexation of the territory and the ongoing civil war in eastern Ukraine, tourists are returning to Crimea in large numbers. The Russian government is investing heavily in Crimea's tourist industry, including the construction of a new road and rail bridge, which will be the longest bridge in Europe when it's finished by the end of 2018. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Elaine Osowski.